Perennial hometown favorites, Wussy, are celebrating 10 years together as a band and are releasing their sixth studio album, which they're calling Forever Sounds. Wussy has earned critical acclaim over the years from publications such as Spin and Rolling Stone and has appeared on national television, but throughout all of that, they still managed to make their home in Cincinnati, where they are most beloved. Here to tell me more about the band and their upcoming album are Chuck Cleaver and Lisa Walker from Wussy.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
I don't know how we managed to stay in Cincinnati.
That actually was going to be my first question. I mean, you've gone from Rolling Stone and Spin, and now you've come all the way back to good old WVXU.
Yeah, it could be because we make about $4 an hour.
It's more exciting for me because I listen to WVXU more than I read those other publications. So personally, it's more exciting for me.
Well, what is it about Cincinnati and I guess, you know, the Cincinnati music scene that has allowed Wussy to, well, to begin really and then to be sustained for this long?
Well, for the most part, it's pretty cheap to live here. So that's a bonus. There seems to be a fairly wide open community as far as music's concerned. You know, the bands have always differed fairly widely in sound. So you can kind of just do your own thing and sort of slowly develop an audience. At least that's the way we did it.
Man, there's a lot of positivity here. I mean, you can always find like negativity if you look hard enough, but I would say the most of the musicians and music supporters that I know here are super positive, super supportive. It makes it really, frankly, easy to make music in that kind of environment. When you have friends and fans around you that are saying, yeah, keep going.
I've always felt that there was a big sense of collaboration among the different bands in town. Mm-hmm. And I also know that like when one band is having a rough time, you know, everyone will step in and like have a benefit show or, you know, whatever to help each other out. It seems to be very much of a family community for the most part.
Absolutely.
It's sort of always been that way. I mean, I've been in bands around town for longer than I like to admit. No, I don't care, you know, mid-80s really, or even farther back than that. And there's always been a community. Sometimes it was a lot more underground than it is now. But there's still a lot of great underground band. I don't like that term, but I mean, you know, there's still a lot of that going on. And that community in some ways is even more inspiring.
The DIY community right now, like the bands that I know that are in that community are, yeah, they inspire me the most right now locally.
And they especially seem to support each other, you know.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. One thing I was not expecting to ask, but now that we're talking about it, how has technology changed that DIY community? You know, it's a lot easier now to produce a CD or to produce an album or post it on the internet where obviously, you know, 25 years ago that just plain didn't exist.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Also, just kind of the spirit of a lot of the punk bands in town. I know, like the engineers on our record this time come from that scene. They helped us reach some of the potential that we've been aiming for sound wise. You know, their youthful enthusiasm and just kind of go for it mentality. John Curley was there as well. He's our sixth member, essentially. But having the guys from Vacation, John Hoffman and Jerry Queen on board, it was really cool just to have, it was like a shot in the arm.
And they gave us the best compliment I think we've ever gotten. They were like, you know, you guys leave in all the stuff that everybody else makes us take off.
I noticed that on the album. I definitely noticed that, particularly in between tracks, there's little bits. And it does give the album a little bit more, I don't know, intimacy or warmth or friendliness.
Records are made by human beings, hopefully.
Yeah, right.
And that notion, I don't like letting go of that. I never have. And for me, this record is sort of something that I've always heard all of our records being, and we just finally reached it, you know. It just sounds more like we sound.
In terms of, like, I was going to say, in terms of
your live just
sound?
That immediate, that noise and that fullness and the chaos to a certain extent. You know?
But one thing that's always there, and I've noticed, because usually once we make a record, I'll listen to it a lot as we're mixing it, and then I put it away for a while, and then sometimes I'll come back to it. One thing I notice in amongst the noise, there's always a bit of groove there, largely in part, and thanks to our rhythm section, Joe Klug and Mark Messerly. And I feel like you can't record in QCA studios without having some groove and some soul
The ghosts in the room?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the King Records and the QCA legacy is strong, and I don't think you can be a musician in Cincinnati and not be thankful for that and not acknowledge that. You know, it's such a great history. We have a history here that is on par with a lot larger cities, you know, Detroit and Chicago, as far as the types of music that King Records was putting out, and a lot of labor of love bands, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of like R&B and bluegrass and country acts. You know, maybe they didn't put out a whole lot of output, but they have some singles on King. You know, yeah. we look for them when we're collecting records. Whenever I see King or Fraternity, which is another great Cincinnati label, I'm always like, okay, who is it? Oh yeah, I like that. Or I've never heard of that person. I'm buying it.
Well, talking about the album Forever Sounds, in listening to it a few times, I got the sense that as the album progresses, the sound gets more and more dispersed and almost a little more psychedelic. Like it starts much more like rock and roll, but toward the end, it starts kind of really branching out and getting more esoteric. Was that on purpose?
We'd like to say it was, but it's tough because we don't really discuss a lot of that sort of thing. We just sort of go in and do it. And
we actually did have a lot of different orders. I know that Joe and Mark and I especially would go back and forth and send different track listings to each other. Like, what about this? What about kind of layering like a set, putting a fast one and a slow one? And then in the end, we put them all together in a way that we really liked, where we tried to front load it as far as like putting the rock songs up first. I like albums that are front loaded in that way.
Well, the last part of the album is kind of a palate cleanser, you know, a little bit of a...
It made sense to me. Like it made sense to all of us when we finally came up with that order together and we realized, yeah, that's it.
But at the very same time, and I don't know who is responsible for this or who can take credit, but if you listen to it as an album, that last track folds right back into track one very, very nicely.
Cool.
That's a happy accident.
That really is.
Yeah.
Most of what we do in some way, shape, or form is a happy accident.
I mean, there are things
just good at it.
That second to last track, there are things, you know, that we probably should have re-recorded on that, but it was recorded as we were making it up. We left certain things in and...
Yeah, she didn't even know she was being recorded. Mm-hmm.
There was a click going on that was coming through my headphones that they had just put in for me, and it came through, so we turned it into the ticking of a clock.
Well, I like the fact that it's called an album for a reason. It's a document of where you were at that time. Mm-hmm. And if you were to change it, it wouldn't be authentic anymore.
That's exactly how we felt. And, you know, sometimes you don't hit the note. Sometimes it's not quite perfect, but... If the spirit of it,
especially good at not hitting.
If the spirit of it's there, you leave it.
So my question then is, what happens now? Is there going to be a tour to support this album?
Yeah, first the trio, Chuck and John Earhart and I, are going to do kind of a stripped down set in the Northwest, Seattle and Portland, and a little bit of radio and record store appearance there. And then we're also going to come back and then do a full band tour starting here in Cincinnati. First one being February 27th at the Woodward.
Yes, with Skrull.
With Skrull, who
one
are
one of the best bands in the universe.
And then we'll be going to our record release will be like the official day that it comes out. We'll be playing at Webster Hall in New York and doing kind of a Northeast and regional Midwestern tour as well.
Boston, Chicago.
And then after that, going to Europe and then hitting the West again. So we're going to be on the road until probably mid-July.
Is it intimidating to think of all this stuff that's coming your way and all this moving around of people in here?
Always.
Yeah. Yeah. Just today I was sending emails trying to make sure that none of us are tasked with driving in the United Kingdom or
on
Europe.
On the wrong side of the
road.
Yeah.
I think the more you drive here, the harder it would be there to get your muscle memory to it'd be like playing guitar the opposite way or something. Yeah.
Well, like we were saying, though, once I get in the van, I'm fine. You know, it's just the anticipation.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about one of the tracks on the album that really resonated with me. I know you've released the first track, Dropping Houses, as a single, but one of the songs that really resonated with me was She's Killed Hundreds, which is, again, I don't know if this was on purpose or not, but when I was listening to it for the first time, something that stuck in my head was Morrissey. Those lyrics sounded very Smiths-like to me.
I can see that.
That's cool. Good.
What is the idea behind that particular song? It's almost like a love affair with a calamity.
I don't really think about that stuff too. I don't know. I just wrote it, you know.
I listened to it, now I didn't write it, but when I listened to it, when I heard it for the first time, I kind of saw it as almost a celebration of someone or something that maybe you've let go, but they still rise to the occasion or something. I don't know.
I love it when people interpret what the songs are about. Sometimes they're a hell of a lot more interesting than what I was thinking. Yeah. Sometimes it's just an exercise, and I hate to be that clinical, but I've written songs just to get a certain word out there. You know,
sometimes it's
really
just whatever
weird.
It takes to get
yeah,
it done.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so I don't know.
Well, as we leave, I'd like to listen to a little bit of that track, She's Killed Hundreds, if you don't mind. And just to say that I've been speaking with Chuck Cleaver and Lisa Walker of Wussy. Their new album, Forever Sounds, is coming out March 4th from Shake It Records. For more information about the band and their new album, you can find links at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Jim Nolan. She's killed hundreds, maybe more. She's killed hundreds, maybe more.